Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Last week, the Supreme Court ruled in the Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia case, and the ruling was a defeat for Christian morality. The court determined that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which makes it illegal for an employer to discriminate on the basis of a person's gender or race or religion, should also apply to sexual orientation and transgender behavior. For the longest time, the LGBTQ activists have been trying to use the 1964 Civil Rights Act to secure the right for transgenders and homosexuals to practice their behavior without receiving any social disapproval. They want the law and the culture to support their immorality while at the same time prosecuting their opponents. Seeking this approval is actually Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Not only do they practice such sins, they seek to get and to give approval for such sins. In short, the LGBTQ activists don't want the public to be allowed any objections to LGBTQ behavior. If a man wants to claim to be a woman, if he wants to dress like a woman or vice versa, it must be affirmed. If you run a business, a school, a club, an organization, you cannot have any standards against LGBTQ. You not only have to hire these people, you must accept their behavior. Society is now forcing the acceptance of this immorality. And what is at stake here is freedom of association, freedom of moral choice, freedom to influence the culture's morals by people being able to practice their moral standards. This is not simply about someone being arbitrarily fired for being a homosexual. Even many Christians agree that it is not the duty of Christians to fire everyone who is a homosexual. There may be times that a Christian employer might hire a drunkard or an adulterer, a homosexual, an unsaved man, just to show kindness and grace. We're to do good to all men. But in some jobs, in some venues, a Christian could not hire a homosexual or a cross-dresser or a transgender to do a certain job if that person's sinful behavior would be promoted and condoned. Let's say teaching or working with children. And the more a homosexual or a transgender outwardly promotes his lifestyle and behavior, that factors in. Therefore, there are some cases where it would violate the word of God and the conscience of the Christian to hire an LGBTQ person. Not all jobs, but just in a few cases. The freedom to hire people based upon their moral behavior must be maintained for there to be freedom of religion and to maintain cultural morals. If we get to the place where the state forces people to accept and hire deviant persons, then the state is prohibiting the way the culture protects and communicates moral standards. In fact, expecting people to conform by using hiring practices is exactly what the left is doing in the cancel culture. The left believes it's totally acceptable for a company to fire someone or to throw someone off of social media if they support conservatism, if they are pro-life, if they're anti-LGBT, if they're anti-Marxism, or if they wear a MAGA hat. So there's a double standard here. We are being forced to accept LGBTQ employees while the left says they should be able to fire anyone who opposes LGBTQ. Like the head of Mozilla, Brendan Eich, who was fired for having sent a donation in support of Proposition 8 in California prohibiting same-sex marriage back in 2008. So this court case and this LGBT movement isn't about removing discrimination. It's about removing righteous discrimination and replacing it with unrighteous discrimination, persecuting the good and promoting the evil, calling evil good and good evil. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The Supreme Court did not remove discrimination. The Supreme Court merely substituted unrighteous discrimination for righteous discrimination. Let me say that again, because if you don't get or remember anything from this program, remember this. The Supreme Court did not remove discrimination. The court merely substituted unrighteous discrimination for righteous discrimination. That's what this is all about. But the media, the courts, the politicians are so morally blind that they do not see or even talk about the real issue here. Let's get this straight. Discrimination was and still is a perfectly good word. That's until our nation was given over to secular relativism. To discriminate means to discern and separate between good and evil. But there is evil discrimination, wrong judgment, and there is righteous discrimination, right judgment. And the ungodliness of society always hates righteous discrimination. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is a terror for the workers of iniquity. And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. The police discriminate against thieves and rapists and pedophiles and murderers and drug users and perverts. Is that good or bad? Well, no, that's good judgment. That's good discrimination. And the ungodly hate it. That's why they wanted to fund the police. And we used to have good discrimination against homosexuality and transgender behavior. But as our nation has departed from God, the good is persecuted and evil is protected and rewarded. Like the evil was protected in Sodom in Genesis chapter 19, and it was protected in the tribe of Benjamin in Judges chapter 19. You know, 50 years ago, a male teacher would be fired for showing up to class wearing a dress. Why? Because it was assumed that children should not be exposed to gender bending. Because in the beginning, God made them male and female. And that was a proper worldview. And if you were a cross-dresser, you were a pervert. It means simply that you are perverted in your thinking. But now the teacher who gets fired is the teacher who criticizes the cross-dresser, or boys in girls' locker rooms, or boys claiming to be girls competing in girls' sports. Woe to you if you say anything against the LGBTQ agenda on your private social media. There's a complete reversal in social morals. Christian standards have been replaced with the standards of Sodom and Gomorrah, and even conservative social leaders are failing to explain this shift. Our moral understanding has become so clouded by a secular worldview that even many church-going people, even many of those who listen to my radio program, don't think it's fair to fire someone for their moral behavior. That it wasn't fair 50 years ago for homosexual teachers or childcare workers to be fired or censored. So they think that the LGBT community is just getting their payback for all the bad things we did to them. Well, wrong. Upholding righteous standards is not doing something bad to someone. It's actually helping someone. Those who are defending the LGBTQ agenda have just lost their moral compass. They have been thoroughly conformed to this world, and they have forgotten the seriousness of immoral behavior. This is the slippery slope when people abandon God. First, pornography is acceptable. Then adultery is acceptable, then homosexuality is okay, then transgenderism is okay, then polygamy is okay, then pedophilia is okay. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And it's just as they did not fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So if you find yourself being socialized by this world, agreeing with this world, you need to return to the Word of God to get the right moral compass. Rather than getting your moral compass from sitcoms and movies and Netflix, you need to get it from the Word of God. I think one of the great sins of our nation is that for most people, Netflix is now their church. Now back to this court case. In order to create a new world where LGBTQ is normal and Christian virtue is persecuted, LGBT activists have been twisting the meaning of discrimination, as I've just explained. And legally, they've been trying to use the 1964 Civil Rights Act to erase gender norms in society. Since the 1964 Act states that an employer may not discriminate with regard to any term, condition, or privilege of employment on the basis of race, color, national origin, or religion, if sex can be interpreted to mean sexual orientation, not biological sex, then the 1964 law can be used to prosecute anyone who objects to an LGBTQ lifestyle. Now, keep in mind that Congress has taken up this issue. Congress has refused to rule that sex means sexual orientation in American law. There has not been enough votes or support for the Equality Act put forth by the Democrats, which would have ruled that sex means sexual orientation in American law. So the activists went to court, hoping that the courts would do what they couldn't get Congress to do. They did this with abortion. They did this with same-sex marriage, Roe versus Wade, Obergefell. The left does a run around Congress, violating the Constitution, and they have the courts make law. Why would they have Congress do this? Well, they couldn't get Congress to pass their laws because Congress is subject to the will of the people while the courts are unaccountable. Liberal congressmen would rather have the courts pass gay marriage and transgenderism so they don't have to answer to the voters. In an article in PJ Media, Senator Hawley reveals DC's dirty little secret and the real reason why SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, super legislators redefined sex in federal law. After the Supreme Court ruled in Bostock, conservative Republican Senator Josh Hawley said on the Senate floor, "Every honest person knows that the laws in this country today, they are made almost exclusively by unelected bureaucrats and courts. They're not made by this body, the Congress and the Senate. Why not? Because this body does not want to make law. That's why not. Because in order to make law, you have to take a vote. In order to vote, you have to be on the record, and to be on the record is to be held accountable, and that's what this body fears above all else, being held accountable for their moral choices before the voters." So here's the case. Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. As reported by the news, it sounds awful. Clayton County fired one of their employees because he joined a homosexual baseball team. But that's a lie. Did you hear the real story? Gerald Bostock worked for the juvenile court. He was given a credit card by the court intended to be used to help foster kids. But he used the money on himself, at bars, at restaurants, and to support his homosexual baseball team. He was fired for misuse of funds, and then he immediately cried discrimination, claiming, "I was fired because I am on a homosexual baseball team." Now, this happened back in 2013. And even back then, we know that no county government would fire an employee for simply being gay, even though technically it would not be illegal. But Bostock was clearly fired because he stole. But like most cases, Roe versus Wade, Obergefell, and now Bostock, they were not only immoral decisions, but the cases were built upon a lie. So the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of Bostock, that Clayton County violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because the law against firing someone for their gender should now also include sexual orientation. Let me list at least three reasons why this ruling is an outrageous violation of justice. First, regardless of what you think about this case, it was not the job of the Supreme Court to make this ruling, to make new law. There's a separation of powers. The legislative branch elected by the people is the only branch of government allowed to make law, not the judicial branch, not the administration. The job of the courts is to adjudicate legal disputes in regard to the law, but never to make the law. But over the years, the courts have ignored the Constitution and have taken power for themselves that doesn't belong to them. Last week, I mentioned Abimelech in Judges chapter 9 and how principled men like George Washington turned down the opportunity for more power, but unprincipled men jump on the opportunity. So as our country becomes more ungodly, bureaucrats, judges, even presidents will not think in terms of the power and the will of the people, but only in increasing their own power. They're not principled enough to say, that's not my authority. And this is how a Christian republic turns into a dictatorship as a people depart from God. And these judges, bureaucrats, and politicians will justify taking power for themselves because they think it is right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Now, what the Supreme Court should have said is that it's not up to the courts to decide if sex now includes transgenderism and sexual choice. If Congress wants to make a law in this regard, fine. But that is not the job of the courts. Besides, it was very clear to the courts that back in 1964, when they wrote the Civil Rights Act, Congress did not have sexual orientation in mind. And not only did the Supreme Court fail to defer to Congress, the courts knew that this issue had come up before Congress in the last few years, and Congress refused to redefine sex as sexual choice. The Supreme Court knew by default that Congress ruled against this change. But nevertheless, the courts decided it was their job to make new law. And the Supreme Court was not ruling in regard to constitutional amendments, something that would take years to change. The Supreme Court was ruling on a law passed by Congress, a law that needed no interpretation. And if it needed an interpretation, the court should tell the plaintiff to wait upon Congress. But these justices want power for themselves. So the so-called conservative judge appointed by President Trump, Neil Gorsuch, wrote the majority opinion on this case, and he clearly violated the principles of conservative judicial restraint and originalism. The left was even surprised that Gorsuch ruled in favor of Bostock. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida said, what really troubles a lot of people is that some of the folks the Republican Party has put on this bench are actively becoming activists in the role that they're playing. It's concerning and frankly undermines the purpose of the courts. Tom Cotton, senator from Arkansas, said, if the Chief Justice believes his political judgment is so exquisite, I invite him to resign, travel to Iowa, and get elected. So, the authority of the courts was wrong. But second, the actual ruling was wrong. The courts violated God's mandate on judges to ignore the deviant culture and to rule according to the law of God. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 21, about evil judges who cause a person to be indicted by a word and ensnare him who adjudicates at the gate and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, woe to those who enact evil statutes and those who constantly record unjust decisions. Micah chapter 3, verse 9, the rulers of the house of Israel who abhor justice and twist everything that's straight. They pervert. Gorsuch's majority opinion basically said that since the 1964 law prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, gender, and to fire a transgender involves a decision about biological sex or gender, I mean, your only objection is that a man is doing what a woman would do. Therefore, Gorsuch concluded that the 1964 law applies to employment protection for transgenders and homosexuals. This was clearly the classical logical fallacy of failing to make a distinction. There is a difference between an employer making a choice on the basis of an employee's natural gender and an employer making a choice based upon an employee's moral choice and behavior. Gorsuch was making the assumption that gender choice is identical to biological gender. How could such an educated man make such an obvious mistake? Well, our minds are connected to our morals. And if you have bought into the worldview that your gender can be a choice, then you will equate gender choice with biological gender. You'll be blind to any distinction. Just like the homosexual argument that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is the same as heterosexual marriage because it's just two people loving each other. Well, it's a failure to honor God's sacred distinction between male and female. And hence we get Gorsuch's ruling. Now, why would an alleged conservative Supreme Court justice rule this way? Because much of what is purported to be conservatism is actually libertarian humanism. They call themselves conservative because they believe in human freedom, but they really are not true conservatives because they refuse to believe in the higher moral law of God that needs to be part of the law of the land. They believe in law positivism, that law is simply a function of man's will and desires. They do not believe that God's law needs to be factored in because that would be a violation of the separation of church and state. They believe in the concept of a godless state. And here's a good way of describing it. They have Lady Liberty blindfolded, not just to be impartial, but to be blindfolded from God. But if God's law is not factored in, and there is no law of nature and nature's God, then rights do not come from God, and eventually anything goes and our nation becomes Sodom. Because anything can be justified if the standard is only human freedom and individualism. This is what intellectuals have been trying to do since the Enlightenment, trying to determine everything without God, starting and ending with man alone. So if mankind thinks homosexuality is okay and doesn't hurt anyone, then it's okay. Jonathan Edwards, the great American theologian, 1750, he addressed this era of the Enlightenment in a treatise entitled The Insufficiency of Reason as a Substitute for Revelation, and in another treatise called The Medium of Moral Government. And Edwards writes, if a nation renounces the necessity of divine revelation in her laws, that nation would soon become more absurd, brutish, and monstrous in its notions and practices than the heathen were before the gospel came among them. Edwards was a prophet in this. For in that our politicians and our judges have renounced the law of God, this is exactly what America has become. Absurd, brutish, and monstrous in her notions and practices, even more than the Native American Indians who came before us. Now, we could get all philosophical and academic with this, but the root problem is always quite simple. It's just godlessness. 2 Chronicles 19:6, judges are to judge for the Lord and not for man. And Jesus' words in Luke chapter 18, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God. So, in the dissenting opinion by the other three judges, Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh, not one of them objected to the ruling on the basis of natural law, the higher law of God, which prohibits transgenderism. That argument or belief is off the table completely in our day, because it is socially unacceptable to mention God or God's law, because in the 20th century, our nation is to be secular. God is not to play any part. The state is to be godless. So even conservative judges will object only on procedural grounds. Over the last week, even conservative pundits who criticized the Bostock ruling, not one of them addressed the root problem. The law of God was not considered. We who hold to the authority of Jesus Christ over the nations are a very small remnant. We are a voice crying in the wilderness. So don't hold out any hope for conservative judges turning this nation around, because conservative judges today are working off of this same ungodly foundation as liberal judges. And don't hold out any hope for the Republican Party, because many, many Republicans who think only in terms of ruling for man and not for God have agreed with the Bostock ruling. Article here in Politico: GOP backs Gorsuch's LGBTQ decision after conservative blowback. Quote, but on Monday, the Republican Party seemed generally supportive of both the substance and the process by which the Supreme Court extended Civil Rights Act protections to gays, lesbians, and transgender workers. President Donald Trump declined to trash the election, calling it powerful, and his party largely agreed with the Supreme Court's surprising ruling. It's important that we recognize that all Americans have equal rights under the Constitution, said Senator Debbie Fisher, Republican, Nebraska. She said, I am fine with it. Plus, the decision could take from Congress a decisive social issue 5 months before the 2020 election. What a bunch of cowards. So don't put your hope in conservative politicians or judges. Until the people of America turn back to God, actually believe in God and God's truth and their law, America will continue to slide into apostasy. Evil men and seducers will become worse and worse, because even with conservatism, we were unwilling to believe and submit to God. He was on the outside. And when that happens, all hell breaks loose. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. The wicked will return to hell, even all nations who forget God. Now, the third outrageous aspect of this ruling will be its ramifications. This case was about Title VII of the Civil Rights Act regarding discrimination concerning employment. Now, most of the talk about sexual orientation and the Civil Rights Act have been about Title IX of the Civil Rights Act regarding discrimination in education, public schools accepting and teaching transgenderism and homosexuality. But now that sex in Title VII means sexual choice and behavior, the word sex in Title IX will also mean sexual choice and behavior. Notice how the left and the courts used an employment issue rather than an education issue to pass this law, because education issues would upset the public and there would be a pushback. So now the LGBTQ activists have everything they need to bring transgenderism and homosexuality into the schools and to persecute and prosecute anyone who objects to LGBTQ behavior and curriculum. I mean, it's already established that if you have any opinion that goes against the moral dictates of the law, you're discriminating against other people. You're violating their rights by making them feel uncomfortable. With the Bostock ruling, the persecution of Christians and their values is codified into law. The Supreme Court has ruled against Christians holding to biblical injunctions. Now, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 provides an exemption for religious organizations. A church, a Christian school, can make distinctions on the basis of sex and religion. A Christian college doesn't have to hire a Muslim, and a church doesn't have to hire a woman pastor. But right after the Bostock ruling, LGBTQ activists and legislators were calling for the elimination of the religious exemption, because their goal is to eliminate any opposition to their ideology and lifestyle, and those who object should be persecuted. So immediately after the ruling, the homosexual congressman from New York, Sean Maloney, said, quote, "We know that Neil Gorsuch is a supporter of so-called religious liberty, which is a bogus term. It is actually some sort of pretext for discrimination hiding behind the guise of religion." And in an article this week in National Review, Senate Democrats moved to gut Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In the wake of the Bostock decision, 47 upper chamber Democrats are pushing a bill that would further weaken protection for religious Americans. This is what's coming next. But don't be surprised concerning the fiery trial which has come upon you for your testing, as if some strange thing has happened to you, because this is the spirit of the age. This is the prophecy concerning the end of the age. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, concerning the last days, that lawlessness will be increased. So let's look at this New Testament teaching about lawlessness. We're told in the last days there will be lawlessness. That doesn't mean there won't be any laws. It's just that the laws will be opposed to God's law. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the son of destruction. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. Matthew 13, 41, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Matthew 23:28. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They look righteous. They look like they're defending justice, but they're in rebellion to God's moral law. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 about Jesus. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. 1 John 3, 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And 2 Peter 2, 8, about Lot living in Sodom, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. The biblical Greek word is anomia. Nomia meaning law, anomia negates it. As Texas Senator Ted Cruz said on the Senate floor after the Bostock ruling, the decision today was lawless. So don't be alarmed or surprised. We are destined for these things. This is just a sign of Jesus' soon return. And this is a dispensation of God by which we can prove our loyalty and love for the Lord, and by which we can win many souls for the kingdom. You may ask, why is God doing this? Why is God lifting his restraint and letting the wicked rule? Well, President Trump, in a recent rally in Tulsa, said something that illustrates and explains this very well, concerning why God will allow this outbreak of evil at the end of the age. So much so that we read in Revelation chapter 6 that the opening of the fifth seal of the apocalypse is the martyrdom of Christians. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they maintained. Why would God let the world do this? Well, listen to this from the president, and I think you'll get the point.
And we did the same thing in other cities, but how about Seattle? Isn't that great? So they take over a big chunk of a city called Seattle. I mean, we're not talking about some little place. We're talking about Seattle. Have you ever been to Seattle? They took over a big chunk, and the governor, who's radical left, all of these places I talk about are Democrat. You know that. Every one of them. Every one of them. And I have an offer out. I said, anytime you want, we'll come in, we'll straighten it out in 1 hour or less. Now, I may be wrong, but it's probably better for us to just watch that disaster. I flew in with some of our great congressmen who we're going to introduce in a second, and I said to him, Congressman, what do you think? I can straighten it out fast. Should we just go in? No, sir. Let it simmer for a little while. Let people see what radical left Democrats will do to our country.
So the president said, I may be wrong, but it is probably better for us to watch this disaster. Let it simmer for a while. Let the people see what radical left Democrats will do to our country. Now, Democrats heard what Trump said in his speech and immediately realized that Trump was right. If the left continues to show their agenda, they're going to lose in November. And the media and the left were already covering up a lot of what's been happening in regard to these BLM protests and covering up the ideology of BLM. I heard a good description by one commentator this week where he said that the left is playing whack-a-mole with the truth. I mean, you know that arcade game where you have to hit the mole that pops up with a big club. Well, every time the truth pops up, the consequences of leftist policies, the left is trying to whack down the truth. But then it appears another place. You have to whack it down over there. This is actually Romans chapter 1, where the ungodly are trying to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But eventually, Satan and his ideology and his followers are exposed for who and what they are. Murderers from the beginning. Haters of the good. So right after Trump made those comments, the left began to work on putting an end to the Seattle Autonomous Zone. But without bringing much attention to it, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin announced Monday that officials would end the police-free zone known as Capitol Hill Organized Protest, or CHOP, after two recent shootings, one of which was deadly, but CNN and MSNBC didn't feel it particularly newsworthy. The Seattle mayor said that violence was distracting from changes sought by thousands of protesters seeking to address racial inequality and police brutality. Well, what it was really distracting from was the Democrats' re-election chances. They heard Trump's comments, let people see what radical leftist Democrats are doing to this country. Now, from what I've read in New Testament prophecy, this is the purpose for God removing his restraint off of this world at the end of the church age. God first exposes sin before he judges it. Psalm 92, when the wicked sprout up like grass, it's only that they may be destroyed forevermore. 2 Thessalonians 2, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged. So understand and appreciate and get with the program of God. We are in a day in which evil is being exposed. The prodigal is going to have to live with the swine, and this will cause many souls to get up and to return to the home of their Heavenly Father. Finally, I think of what Paul writes to the Thessalonican church, a persecuted church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. But notice how Paul ends his letter to this persecuted church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Thank you for listening. Subscribe, like, leave a comment below to lend moral support. Next week, I believe the program will be on confronting leftist evangelical support of BLM. Until then, stand firm in the faith. May Jesus Christ reign.